The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Batra. This Masechet, the longest Masechet in Shas, page-wise, has been dedicated by our good friend and pioneer student in the Daf Yomi Shi'ur, Adam Azrak Hashem Yishmeru V'chayehu, for the Hatzlacha of his dear children, that they should grow up to give him much nahat, they should have chokhmah, binah, vada'at, and be'ezrat Hashem, they should be zuche in the right time to the proper zivugim, b'parnasa, osher v'chavod, me'ata v'ad olam, to him and his wife and his entire family. Amen. Daf Zayin, today's daf is being studied in Mishmat Avram ben Esther. Ruach Hashem, t'nichenu b'gan Eden. Amen. Begin today's daf. And Vav Amud Bet, and we are going to start right on the bottom, two lines. Hanehu betre. Okay, there were two guys. Dehavu daire. They were dwelling in the same house. Had avadayir adla'e. One guy lived on top. Vehad avadayir tate'e. One guy lived on the bottom. Okay. And she said they're brothers, that they got an inheritance. So they're splitting some now brothers. They're splitting the building. So it says, itbar tata'e. So what happened, the bottom wall started to cave in. She said, so now what happened is the top floor started to cave, which is the roof of the bottom floor, started to cave down. He cannot enter his house, the bottom guy, unless he bends down. And the wall got so low, so he can't enter. So basically, the guy now, he has claims. So the bottom guy tells the top guy, okay, let's rebuild. I have no problem, I'm good. What do I got to rebuild for? I can get into my house, no problem.
Nice brother.
So, okay, I have no problem. I'll do the rebuilding. I'll knock down the whole house, and I'll rebuild it. Let me duchta le medarba. I know where to live. Wait, you're going to rebuild the whole house. Where should I go? Amale ana ugad lak duchta. I'll rent your house. I'll rent your place. Amale lo tarachna, which means burden. I got to move my stuff now. I'm not interested in being burdened. So comes the Gemara and says, lo ka midarli. He says, but you know, I can't live in the house here. What do you want me to do? I can't get into the house. So it says, he tells him, shuv akiresach ve'ud. Lie in your stomach and go into the house. Veshuv akiresach upuk. You can get in, crawl into the house, and you can go in there. Amar Rav Hama bedina kame'akiv. Really, the guy on top has a right to stop him. He doesn't have to accept any of these deals over here. Because bottom line, he says, I don't want you to rebuild the whole house. Where am I going to live in the interim? It's a Torah for me to move my stuff. And basically, he can hold them up. So the Gemara says, but wait, how low is this wall that's sunk? This is only talking about where the beams did not go less than 10 tefachim. But if the beams went so low that it says less than 10 tefachim, hey, listen, once already your wall has sunken into my area, because my area is less than 10 tefachim, which is from the ground to less than 10 tefachim is my area. Now already you got to get your wall out of my area. Above 10 tefachim, he really can't, he can't have a claim so much, because the guy can always tell him, I don't want to move. But once already the wall sinks so low that it's less than 10 tefachim, that's already in my zone. Therefore you can tell him, listen, you want to put your roof, but your roof now is in my area. Therefore you got to get rid of it, you got to rebuild. And that's only talking about where they didn't make a condition pre-stipulation. You know, when they split the house. But if they made a condition initially, so then already, satre ubanu. Then already, the deen is, they got to follow the condition. They knock down the house and they build it. Which means, the condition was that if there's going to be a little sinkage of the roof, we're going to rebuild again.
Less than 10
tefachim.
Less than 10 tefachim. Share to build it.
Yes. You gotta share the building.
The lower one doesn't have to pay the
share the building. Now already you have a good legitimate claim. But the point is, if they made a condition originally that if it starts to sink, that we're gonna rebuild it together, so then you cannot say, I don't wanna move anywhere. That was a condition that they made in the beginning.
Count. He went to his airspace.
Doesn't matter, even more than 10 tefachim. Even if it's higher than 35, if they made a condition initially, so they got to follow the conditions that they made. Once it starts to sink, is everywhere we're going to rebuild the house. Right. V'chi atnu ba'de adadeh ad kama. So the Gemara says, okay, even an inch, even when they make a condition, how much? So the Gemara says, Amru Rabbanan kemed rava b'shemed emor sutra b'edad rab Nachman, de'amar m'shemed rab Nachman, ke'otah sheshaninu, rumo ke'chatsi urko ve'chatsi rochbo. He gave a calculation over here. The height is the half of the area, which means, let's say the area is a 10 by 12. Okay, what's half of 10? Half of 10 is 5. Half of 12 is 6. So therefore the height would be 11. So anything that's less than 11, then already you can rebuild again. Again, they made a condition. The many conditions, if it starts to sink, we're rebuilding. Right? Even an inch? How much? So that it's as long as it sinks to less than half the area. I told you again, the area is 10 by 12. That's not height. The area is 10 by 12. What's half of 10 by 12? Half of 10 is 5. Half of 12 is 6. 5 and 6 is how much? 11. That's the way he said it. That's the way he got the shiur. When you have a 10 by 12, I'll give you an example. The height's got to be at least 11. And if it goes less than that, then already he has a right to come. If they stipulated, that is, he has a right to come along and make a sign. So 10 by 12 tefahim, I'm saying, whatever you like. The point, that's how you make the calculation. You split the area, and then that becomes the height of the wall. Anything less than that, he's able to, with a condition, you're able to rebuild again. So comes the Gemara and says, Amad Hurava. Didn't I tell you already? Lo titlu be buki siriki be Rav Nachman. Do not attribute this buki siriki, this nonsense items to Rav Nachman. What kind of shiur? Where did you get that shiur from? What are you talking about? Hachi amar Rav Nachman ki didayde inche. All Rav Nachman said is that, like the normal way people dwell. The kamar. How much is the normal way people dwell? Amar Rav Huna bered Rav Yoshua ki echi didayle. Isruita de mechoza the hadar, that it's high enough that they could bring in long beams that they would bring into the house, and they're able to turn around to all sides, which means so long as you can bring in a long beam into the house, a reed, and you're able to, it's high, and you're able to turn it over, you know, to all sides, that's considered already a normal height. Once you can't do that anymore, that's already considered too low, and if they made a condition, they can, if to stipulate, they can, which is the first thing that I gave some type of calculation, which we're going to see later on in the Gemara, later on in Bamba Batra, half the area. Who said that? That's got nothing to do with this case over here. And the Pshat is, when they make a stipulation, if it sinks an inch, you cannot force the guy to rebuild. He gives it, oh, we stipulated. And I know, so long as it's a guy can work with a long beam, or kane, or reed, and he can turn it over on all sides without hitting the walls, so then already it's considered normal. Less than that, you have a problem. Oh, Gavra, another guy. Dava baner ashita achore chave dechavre. He built a wall behind his friend's windows. He blocked the sunlight now. Amale ka me'afalt alai. Hey. You brought darkness to me over here. Take the wall down. You're building a wall over here. You're taking away my sunlight. So comes the Gemara and says, "Amale sakana lachacha." Don't worry. I'll close the windows that you have over here. Ve'avid nala kave le'el mishatai. I'll build you new windows above my wall. I'll build you new windows. The sun is not getting to this area because my wall is blocking. On your wall, I'll make new windows higher, so you're able to catch the sun. Amale. You're going to ruin my wall. I don't want you to bang holes into my wall now. I'm happy with my wall, with my windows. Amale satan nalach le'ashitach ad duchtach dekavai. Basically is, I'll knock down your wall ad duchtach dekavai ubani nalach v'abid nalach kavai bebinyana le'el meshitai, which means I'll build you a new wall on top, which means I'll refortify the wall above, which is in that area of the wall where I put the new windows, I'll refortify it. So don't worry about it. Your wall will not get ruined. Amale Ashita Mitata Atika Umileel Hata Lokaima. The bottom wall, the bottom part of my wall is going to be old. The new part of my wall is going to be new. You can't do that. It's not going to stand. If you just want to pay for the upper area to redo it, it's not good. Because the upper wall is a new wall. It's resting on an old wall. So you know what? I'll pay for the whole thing. I'll knock down your whole wall from the ground. And I'll build you new windows, all right? He's not happy. Amale hada ashita hata bechula beta atika lo kaima. One new wall when all the other walls in the house are old, but look nice. You're building me a nice new wall, but what do I do with the other walls of it? All the other walls are not nice. Amale satan nala lekula beta. I'll knock down your whole house. Ubenina la kave bebenina. I'll put you new windows. And are you happy? Amale let li duchta le medarba. I have nowhere to live. Amale agir na lak duchta. I'll go rent your place. Amale lo tarachna. I don't want to move. It's a torah for me to move. Amar Rav Hama, again, Rav Hama says, bidin ka me'akev. Rav Hama says, he can stop him.
His wall's down.
He can tell him, I don't want, take your wall down. You're blocking my sunlight. Even though he offered him to build him a new house. Wow. Sorry, I don't want, I want my sunlight. Take your wall down. So the Gemara asks the obvious question, Hainu hach. It's the same as the last case that we had, with the two brothers that were living on top of each other, where the wall started to cave in, where the guy basically, as long as the guy has a claim, I don't want to move because it's the Torah, he's got the right claim. So what's the difference between the two cases? The Gemara says, Hainu hach. The ha, two lamali. What do you need the same case for? Hakamash malan, da'flagav, de lo mishtamish, ela tivna ubet siveh, be'alma. The Hadush is, even though this guy only was storing in this place a straw and wood, it's not such a torah for him to move this stuff. In Mishnah, the guy's living there, he doesn't want to move all his furniture and all his belongings, fine. But the Hadush is, even if it's not such a torah, it's only he's moving straw and wood. Bottom line, he can hold the guy up. I don't want to move. It's a torah for me to move even my wood and my straw. Therefore, take down your wall, you're blocking my sunlight. Okay? Next story. Hanu betre ahi. Okay, two brothers. Okay, they divided an inheritance. Okay? Had matya aspelida. One guy got the treklin. Treklin is like the,
foyer?
Courtyard. Okay? It's a nice area. Nice area. Sunny area. Nice, beautiful area. It's called treklin. Had matya terpitsa. And one guy got the garden. Okay? Now, from the garden was coming sunlight into the treklin. So it was a good system. The guy, the treklin, was very happy because he's getting the sunlight that's coming from the garden. But one guy owns the garden now, one guy owns the treklin, the courtyard. But he was benefiting from the sunlight. Anyway, of course, what happened? Azal ahut de matyad harbitza, the guy that got the garden, the kabane ashita apumad aspelida, he put a wall up. He put a wall up in front of his garden. Now what happened? He's blocking the sunlight going into his brother's courtyard. So the brother now has a claim. Amale kam afalt alai. Yeah, you brought darkness to me. Amale bididi kamarin. What do you offer me? I built it on my side. I didn't build it on your side. I have a right. Amar of Hama bidin ka amale. The garden guy is right. He has a right to build the wall. Amale ravinad rav asher. I don't understand you. How can he have a right to block the sunlight like that? Maishin amade tanya shne achim shalku. Two brothers that divided an inheritance. Echad mehem natal sadeh kerem, ve'echad mehem natal sadeh lavan. One guy got the vineyard, one guy got the wheat field. Yesh to lebala kerem, dalir amot besadeh lavan. Oh, which means the bala kerem gets an automatic 4 amot into the area of the baal sadeh lavan. Why? Because to work a vineyard, you need 4 amot for the plows to get through. So therefore, it's an automatic acceptance that when you're dividing these things up, the Baal HaKerem gets 4 amot into the area of the Baal Steh Lavan in order for his for plowing spaces. Shalmenat ken halku. Oh, so that's the condition they did it. Which means the Gemara is trying to say, just like you say that the Baal HaKerem has rights to the area of the Baal Steh Lavan, because that's the stipulation. Similarly, over here, when they stipulated these two areas over here, they divided it. He divided with the understanding that I'm going to get your sunlight. You can't take away my sunlight. But you're just like my two brothers. This guy can take a little from the other guy's area because it's accepted. So too it's accepted also. When we split the garden and we split the courtyard, I understood that I'm going to get the sunlight. That's the Gemara saying. Oh, so comes the Gemara and says, what are you talking? Amale, hatam da'alu lehadadeh. Over there, the reason is because he paid for it. Which means when they divided the vineyard and the wheat field, he paid him for the extra 4 amot. That's why he gets the extra 4 amot. However, aval hacha, mai delo alu lehadadeh. They did not stipulate for that extra, so he didn't pay for the extra sunlight, which means they just divided it without paying. Nashi, da'alu ahadadeh, shenatan ba'al ha-kerem le-ba'al ha-steh la-ban damim. The ba'al ha-kerem paid money to the ba'al ha-steh la-ban, shen'ilu ya-kerem. Hilka kerem ba'al ha-mishkalim avodato. Okay, that's why you get extra far more. Mashik in this case, no. So comes again and says, "What do you?" So it sounds like over here they didn't divide it like that. They didn't divide it in in the case of the Kerem, they actually divide everything exactly. You got exactly the same square footage. I get the exact square footage, and then the extra 4 amot he paid for. Yeah, that's why he gets it. But shaking here, it sounds like they just you get this, you get this. So the Gemara says, "What are you talking about? We're talking about fools. We're talking about people that have no sense." When you're dividing inheritance, you don't just say, you take this, I'll take this. You divide everything accordingly. Da'ay shakil aspilda, va'ay shakil tarbitza, ve'lo la'alu al-hadadeh. Which means, you don't think they divided it exactly equal? They just said, you take the courtyard, I'll take the garden? Obviously, they calculated that everyone's going to get exactly the right amount. So comes the Gemara and said, of course, I didn't mean that. Amale nihi da'ale lahadadeh. Sure, what did they divide amongst themselves? Deme livne, how many bricks you're getting, kishure is beams, vehudre is ornamental beams. However, deme avira lo alu lahadadeh. But they didn't divide the air. They didn't divide the airspace that you're going to take my son from me, which means, of course they calculated square footage. You're getting this many beams, I get that many beams. Of course they calculated that. But they didn't get so technical when they were dividing over here that, oh, and the airspace in front of your garden, that belongs to me because I'm getting the sun. They didn't do that. They made a halukah on the tangibles, not on the intangibles. Everybody has another claim. Let him tell him like this. Listen, initially, you gave me as my inheritance, meaning we divided, I got a courtyard. Hashta mashvitli idruna. Now it's not a courtyard, now it's a dark room. Which means, what we divided is not what I have now. So let me have a claim like that. Listen, we settled, I get the courtyard, right? By the way, it's not a courtyard anymore after what you did to it. It's a dark room. So therefore I have claims. Take down your wall. Amar Efshimi bar Asher, Sheme ve'alma Palag Shema be'alma palagle. Wow. All they divided was a name. Which means, I don't care if this is a dark room now. Bottom line, what do we call this dark room? We call it a treklin. We call it a courtyard. That's all they were getting. Which is, even though it might not be like a conventional courtyard, but since that's, which is when we were dividing the inheritance, you get the garden, I get the courtyard. This is the courtyard. Happens to me now it's a dark room, but we weren't dividing the actual aesthetics of the room. We were dividing what it's called. You got the court. Is this called the courtyard? Yes. Even though it might not act like a courtyard, but if we're calling it a courtyard, that's what you divide. That's what you got. Finish. That's what it is. And the Gemara is going to prove this. The Gemara says, Milo Tanya, didn't we learn in the Braita? Ha Omer, Bet Kur Afar Ani Mocher Lecha. I'm selling you A guy tells his friend, I'm selling you bet kur afar, a piece of land where you can plant a kur's worth of stuff. That's a big land. Even though he sells him a piece of land, he can only plant half a kur, it's okay. The sale is a sale. Why? Shelo machan lo ela shema. He only sold him the name. Vehu de mitkere bet kur. In that place, they would call a bet kur an area we could only plant half a kur. Don't ask me why they called it a bet kur, but that's what they called it. You were buying the name. You can't come along and say, hey, I said bet kur. You can only plant the letech of it, which is half. You bought a Bet Kur. They call this land the Bet Kur. That's what I saw. I told you the name. Similarly, Pardes Ani Mochelech. I'm selling an orchard. Afal Pish Emborim Monim. Even though there's no pomegranates, normally a Pardes has pomegranates. Now the guy gets the orchard, there's no pomegranates. Higio, the sale is a sale. Shelo Machalo Ela Shema. He sold him a name. We call this field over here a Pardes. Vehu Demet Kere Pardes. Long as it's called a Pardes. Kerem Ani Mochelech. I'm selling you a vineyard. Afal Pish Emborim. Even though there's no grapes in the vineyard, in the kerem, higio, the sales are sale. Shelo machalo ela shema, vehu demitkere karma. So therefore, as long as it's called a kerem. So therefore, what's the Gemara trying to say over here? Gemara said, you sold them the name. But the truth is, this is much different, these cases, if you think for a second. The Gemara is trying to say, hey, I sold you a kerem. Hey, where's my grapes? Over here, we call a kerem even a place where there's no grapes. So therefore, the sales are sale. But over there, he got what he bought. He sold them a kerem. It's called that. He got what he got, and that's what it is. Here, it's still different. Here, he inherited a courtyard with sunlight. And then all of a sudden, the guy builds a wall. Now, you're changing the deal. So it's a little different over here. What's the game like? He bought the name. You bought the name. You change the item on me. In the case where I buy a Bet Kur, I buy the Bet Kur, and I say, hey, Bet Kur, this only has half. Well, by the way, we call that. In this place, we call half the Shi'ur a Bet Kur. So I sold you the name. That's what you call. You bought it. You bought what you got. You bought what you asked for. Here, by the inheritance case, it's not analogous. When I was, when we inherited, I got the courtyard. Now all of a sudden, after I get the courtyard with sunlight in it, you put a wall up, now that's a different item. No, you got the name. You got the name, but you can't change it on me. So what's the Gemara actually proof from this story over here? So I saw, that's the Rashba's question, by the way. Rashba's asking, what's the myon between the case of the kerem and the pardes and the bet kur to the case of where it changed? So he comes along and says like this. The Ritva answers this. Really, we're not making a demur between the two cases. He says like this: Shemeemet Yesod Daeter Shel Balagina. The Eter of the Balagina, the garden guy to build a wall up over there, is because he's building in his own area. Really, you can't stop me. I'm building it on my area. Verak Memela at stopping the sunlight. Okay, that's really the Eter. Now, Ela Shadai and I am a Kom Nesod Balagina Biniat Tekod. But I can still stop it. Maybe why? He said Etzema Haluka. Because when I sold you the traklin, or when we split the traklin, the courtyard, the pshat is that it's always going to remain a courtyard. There's an argument like that. That you know, even though I'm building a wall on my area, but by building this wall, it's taking away from your traklin. That's going to take the traklin away from its name. So on this, Rav Shimi Bar Ashi says that building the wall doesn't take the traklin's name away from it. Which means, because bottom line, it's still the shape, the area of a traklin. And therefore, when they divided it, I didn't guarantee you that it's going to be a traklin always. I guaranteed you the name will always be there. That's the point. And therefore, we bring it to Ayah from over here. When a guy sells a pardes, he's really selling him the name. Similarly over here, when we divided the halukah, I was dividing an area called a traklin. Not that I'm going to preserve it as it is going to be a traklin like this forever. No, the name. So similarly, like in the case of the sales. So the Gemara says, wait, midame. Gemara starts the question. Hatam, matze amal demochid elokeiach, shema zavinilach. Over there in the sale, the seller could say, I sold you a name. I sold you pardes. Don't tell me there's no pomegranates. Pardes is called a pardes even without pomegranates. See you later. However, hacha, matze amale, adata deachi, palge, didaid nabe. Oh, here he can say, listen, when we divided this inheritance, I divided it in the way, like my father used to live in this area. My father lived in this area with sunlight now. Which means, in the case of the sale of the pardes and all that other stuff, he can say, listen, you bought the name, I sold you the name, what do you want from me? Here, there's a precedence. He can come along and say, wait, when we were dividing this, I remember how our father used to live in this place. There was no wall in the garden. There was sunlight coming in. So therefore, You tricked me now. Now all of a sudden you give it to me now. I split it al da'at that I'm going to live in it the way my fathers lived in it. The Gemara says, "Mor yinuka umor keshisha bered Rav Chasdan Rav Asher nehar de'e leta'amayu," which means they're following their opinion. The Amar of Nachman, Amar Shmuel, ha'achim shehalku. You have two brothers that divided a Yerusha together. En lahem lo derech ze al ze, which means they cannot demand from each other passage rights. Which means now one of the brothers said, "Listen, I want to walk through your field to get to my field. I want a road." He doesn't have to walk from the road. Not only that, ve lo halonot ze al ze. There's no window claims, which means one of the guys cannot claim, "Don't build your wall, you're blocking my sunlight on the windows." Exactly like this case. Ve lo sulamot ze al ze. Nor do they have ladder rights, which means the guy wants to go on the second floor, wants to put a ladder against the other guy's building to climb up to his second floor. He can stop him, right? He cannot put the ladder in the other guy's chatzer. Velo amata mayim ze al ze. Nor are they able to. The guy can come along and say, "Well, listen, I want the water to run through my field, but for the water to run through my field, it's got to run through your field also. No, I don't want water running through my field." Which means, once they divide it, each guy can block the other guy, either from putting his ladder up on his chaser, or from making a pathway into the other guy's chaser, or from the amatamayim, the zaharu bahin. And he told them, "You have to be very careful when it comes to these halachot. Shalachot kivuoten. These are standard halachot that apply. And that is the halacha." So therefore, that's why the other rabbi said over here that he has no claim. When the garden guy puts up his wall, he can keep his wall up there. He can block the guy's light. Because bottom line, we're going like the opinion of these rabbis over here that say, this is Mor Yinuka or Mor Kishisha B'Rav Chasda, Rav Asher Nehar De'a. Who's not that of Hamah? Rav Hamah is the one that made the rulings on all these laws over here. Right? All these halakot that we learned till now are in the name of Rav Hamah. Rav Hamah is the rabbi that said what? The guy keeps his wall up there and can block the light. Because they're following the opinion of Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel that says when brothers divide something, it's done. Look at the sheep, taf the sheep. Nehar de'e leta'amayu. Rav Hamah de min nehar de'ahu. Rav Hamah was from nehar de'ah. So he's following the rabbis of nehar de'ah. De lo sfira leha de'idur ba. You can't come along and say, "I want to live there like my father's lived there." You don't go with that sivara. Because he holds like Shimon, that also comes from the Hardea. Right? This guy took a field in the north, this guy took a field in the south. The father used to go from one field to the other field. The father used to cross it over from one field to the other. En yachol lomar derech li'alayich. According to Shmuel, he can't say, "Hey, I want to live the way my father lived. Sorry, we split the fields now. You keep the north, you keep the south. You're not building I don't want you to make a pathway through." Velo halonot le'arer al stimat halonot. Or you can't claim that, "Hey, you're blocking my sunlight." Velo sulamot im natal ze bay. This guy got the house, and this guy got the hatzer. Veze natal aliyah, this guy got the roof. You cannot put a ladder in this guy's chatzir to climb to the second floor. Right, he cannot run the water through his field either. So what do you see over here? According to the Shita, we see clearly that according to Shmuel, who was from the Hardea, and the Hamadik, now they have the same Shita. Once we divide it, it's divided. You can't come along and say, "I want to live there the way my father lived there." However, the Rav Amar Yesh Lahem. But Rav comes along and says, "No, they have these claims against each other." Because Rav is the opinion that says what? When they divide it according to the same usage rights that the father had. And therefore he can claim, "Take your wall down. I had sunlight over here before. I want the stream. I want to walk. I want passage rights." Okay, so that's the machloket in these cases. Let's go one more case till we get to the Mishnah. Hu shtar ha'yatamim. There was a shtar of the Yatomim. Yatomim are orphans that are children. Tenafik ale tavra, which means the orphans had a shtar. you owed my father money. So they bring it out to the guy. Hey, they go to the borrower. You owe us money. The borrower takes out a tavra. What's a tavra? A receipt. What are you talking about? It's paid up in full already. You got the receipt. So what's the question? The receipt is a receipt. What could be the she'ela over here? So the Gemara says that the case is talking about not so simple. Exactly. Which means we have witnesses that are testifying that when the father was still alive, he claimed this guy for money and he didn't take out the receipt. Now all of a sudden he's taking out the receipt after the guy, the father died, so they have a question over here, what's the validity of this receipt over here? Again, if you really paid up, when the father claimed, hey, where's my, when the father of the Yatomi was alive, and he claimed, hey, where's my money? Then the guy didn't take out a receipt. Now he's only showing this receipt after the death. Right, which means the date on the receipt is later. Again, the guy came in, the father was alive of the Yatomim. He claimed, where's my money? The guy came along, witnesses, hey, where's my money? He didn't give me any receipt, no nothing. Now all of a sudden, the father dies in February. Now the Yatomim come along, that is a shuvar, a receipt in February already, that's dated. What do you mean? It should have been dated in January when the father came. The father of the Yatomim was alive. Again, this is the case. The father of the Yatomim was alive. He was owed money. He went to to this guy. Where's my money? In front of Edim. Edim did not see any receipt given at that time. Okay? Now the father dies. Yatomim come along and say, hey, you owe my father money. Your father, why? The guy takes out a receipt. Now the receipt is dated later. The receipt was not dated from the time when the father claimed the money, the first visit. It should have been dated from then. Now it's dated now. So the witness says, "Hey, this shuvar over here is questionable because the charat should have been dated at the time when the father went to get his money. The fact that it's dated now looks like there's something tricky over here." So anyway, they went to Rav Hamma. What do we do, Rabbi? Well, you can't get paid because bottom line, the guy's got a receipt. However, umikra lo karinale. But don't rip up your shtar yet. Don't rip up your shtar. No, make up your mind. If he's saying don't rip up your shtar, that means you can't get paid. So give it us. You can't get paid with it because bottom line, there's a receipt. But don't rip up your shtar because maybe when the Yatomim are going to become older, maybe they'll bring a proof to show that what that this receipt over here is really a fake. So everybody hold on to your positions. Right now you can't get paid because probably guys got showing your receipt. But you know what? Maybe you'll get older and you'll be able to disprove it somehow. So therefore, hold on to your positions. In all these cases that we just learned, all these cases are the rulings of Rav Hamma. The whole Daf Zayin is all stories where Rav Hamma made a ruling. What was the stories over there? You can't kick me out of my house because I don't want to move. We had two cases like that. You had this last case over here with the Yatomim. You had the case where the wall sunk in. In all those cases over there, Rav Hamma made a ruling. So the Gemara is coming along now and saying, what's the bottom line halakha? Oh, the case of the sunlight with the garden and the traklin. In all those cases, Rav Hamma made rulings. What's the bottom line on that? In all these cases, we follow Rav Hamma lebar metabra, except for the case of the receipt. Why? Tisahade b'shakre lo machzekinan. We do not suspect that the witnesses in the shtar are lying. Which means, the witnesses that signed this receipt. You got to assume if the witnesses signed the receipt, you don't right away pussail witnesses. Therefore, you got to assume it was paid. Therefore, it's paid up in full. You believe the receipt. So what are you talking about? In this halakha, it's also false of Nachma. Why? If this receipt was really a legitimate receipt, If Elin Apuke Bahaya Abuhon, how come they didn't take that receipt out when the father was alive? How come it just surfaced after? Umidelo Apike, from the fact that they didn't take out the receipt after, Shma Mina Zayufe Zayfe, that already gives us a suspicion that maybe it is forged, which means, how come when the father came along and said, pay me, they didn't take out this receipt? Coincidentally, it only surfaces the second time when the Yatomim are coming along. That already says questionable. Therefore, Halakha follows up Chama in this case as well. And therefore, everybody hold their position. You hold your receipt. You hold your Shtar Yatomim. Maybe when you get older, you'll be able to bring witnesses to prove it. If not, then of course, then you're not going to be able to get paid. We continue on Zayin Amud Bet, starting from the Mishnah. Kofin Oto Libnot Bet Sha'ar V'delet LaHaser. We're talking about now members that are living in a Haser. Those are different houses that are in a Haser. So there's certain obligations that all the members have to chip in on. One of them is called a Bet Sha'ar. Basically what a Bet Sha'ar is like a watchman's gate. They build it in the front of the Haser, a little house. And the watchman sits in it to make sure that there's a protection from the, you know, from the thieves and things like that. That's called the Bet Sha'ar. Look at Rashi. Rashi in the Mishnah, kofin oto et ben hehased, she'en rotsa lesayei ad ben hehased. He doesn't want to help. Livnot lahen Bet Sha'ar, v'yot shomer ha-petach yoshev sham, where the gatesman sits over there, betzel in the shade, umarhik et b'nei reshut tarbim melehatsitz b'chatser. What his job is, he keeps the people of the reshut tarbim from gazing into the chatser. Like, you know, keep on walking, he shoos them away. That's what he does in the Bet Sha'ar. Anyway, they could force him to pay for it. So kofin oto libnot Bet Sha'ar v'delet, also a door for the chatser. That's everybody has to share in that. Rabban Shimon Gamliel omer lo kol chatserot ruyot lebet Sha'ar. Okay, we'll see. Rabban Shimon Gamliel says not every chatser is really worthy of having a Bet Sha'ar. Kofin oto libnot la'ir, when it comes to the city obligations of the inhabitants of the city, choma, that's the city wall, everybody has to chip in, delatayim, that's the walls, the doors of the city, ubriyah, briyah is the bolt of the city, the lock. In the olden days, they used to have the gates of the city, so lock it at night or from time to time. Rabban Shimon Gamliel omer lo kol ayarot ruyot lechoma, not every city is worthy of a wall. We'll see what that means when we get to the Gemara. Kama yim ba'ir v'yekan shi'ayin. How long do you have to stay in the city to be considered one of the residents of the city? We can obligate it to pay for these public works. Yab chodesh, 12 months. Kana ba bayit dira. But if you bought a residence, actually bought a house, immediately. Ha'ir kan shi'ayin miyad. And he has to kick in on these obligations. Immediately comes the Gemara and says, "Lememra de Bet Sha'ar me'adayutai." Are you telling me that to have a Bet Sha'ar in a Hasid is a good thing? Veha hahu Hasida. There was a certain Hasida. Abad Agil Eliyahu. Eliyahu Navi used to be frequenting him. Daba Mishta'ay Bade used to come talk to him a lot. Avad Bet Sha'ar. So one day he built the Bet Sha'ar, this Hasid, in front of the Hasid. And Eliyahu Navi stopped coming to talk to him. So you see, building a Bet Sha'ar is not a good thing. But from the Mishnah, it's not mashma. It is a good thing. So Gemara says, now what's the reason why Eliyahu Navi should stop talking to him? So that she says, Nefishe mefsik ba'aniyim atso'akim ve'em kolam nishma. Because it interferes with the aniyim that are trying to collect money from the people in the Hatzir. When you have the Bet Sha'ar there, so the aniyim are screaming and they cannot be heard in front of the gate. Because the Bet Sha'ar is over there. So therefore, it's like stopping the aniyim from collecting their money. So the Gemara says, Lakasha. There's no question. Ha, migavai, ha, mibarai. Depends where you put the Bet Sha'ar. One is on the inside, that she says, migavai lechatzir on the inside, giri'utahu. The fishedele tachatzir na'ul. Because they lock the gate, the door of the chatzir. Ve'ani so'ek. And the ani screaming from the outside. V'ubet sha'ar shebifnim mafsik akol. So you got the door, and you got a Bet Sha'ar behind it, and the ani's trying to scream, hey, I need money. Nobody can hear it, because the Bet Sha'ar is like blocking it. However, mibarai, enu mafsik b'fanav sh'nechnas l'tocho, u'sh'en delet askinan. However, when the Bet Sha'ar is on the outside, he can enter that little area, and when you have a Bet Sha'ar on the outside, there's no door, we're talking about, on the chatzir itself. So he can go into the Bet Sha'ar and scream, and at least the people of the chatzir will hear him. That's a good one. So therefore, the Mishnah is talking about when they put it on the outside, where the ani's voice is able to still be heard. And the Ha'ar Navi's case, where he stopped talking to the Hasid, because he put it on the inside. So you have a door, plus the Bet Sha'ar, so ani's screaming on the outside, his voice will not... Huh?
He built it on the outside.
No, the outside is good. The Hasid used to have Eliyahu Navi come to him every day. The Bet Sha'ar was on the inside. The Beit Shaar was on the inside in the Hasid case. The Hasid used to speak to Eliyahu Navi every day, whatever it is. Eliyahu Navi stopped coming to him. Why? Because he built the Beit Shaar. That was a bad thing. Why is it a bad thing? Because he built the Beit Shaar on the inside. On the inside, inside of the courtyard, plus the door of the courtyard, the Ani's voice cannot be heard from the outside. You have a door plus another door, a gate, and a building, whatever it is, a hut. So Gemara's giving me a few answers of it. It's another answer. Both Beit Shaar are talking about their outside. So the difference is, does the Hatzir have a door or not? If the Hatzir has a door, then it's a problem. Because between the door of the Hatzir and the Beit Shaar, the Ani's voice cannot be heard. But if there's no door, so he's able to at least scream, and they'll be able to hear him. Some say, no, both cases talk about it. It's on the outside with a door. The case, does the door have a lock or not? If the door has a lock, then the Ani cannot enter the Beit Shaar. Mashaken, if the door doesn't have a lock, at least he can enter the Beit Shaar and scream, and he'll be able to get heard. So therefore, the first case was talking about a year door and no door on the Beit Shaar. Now the second is, no, the Beit Shaar has a door. The machlok is the difference is if it has a lock or not. If it has a lock, so that's it. He's stuck. He's on the outside and he's screaming and nobody can hear him. But if he's there's no lock on the door of the Beit Shaar, he doesn't go in and he screams out, he's able to be heard. Some say both cases. It's a Beit Shaar on the outside. What a door! What a lock! How do you get out of this? The potachat dide megavai. One case talking about where the lock is on the inside. That's a problem, because the Ani cannot open it. Had the portal dide mebarai, and some say the lock is on the outside. On the outside, he can open the door, so he can go in. He can scream. I'll be able to hear him. So basically, a few answers over here of how you have a situation, why it's good and why it's not good. Good.
Yeah. Okay. What is the one on the outside?
He screams.
A lock on the outside. What is that?
Doing? I don't know why they put a lock on the outside.
They're going to the door knob here.
Why would they put a door knob on the outside if he can access it from the outside? It's a lock, basically, which means if you can get in from the outside, then you can just open the door. Okay, now she says, Ani potah v'nichnas. That's right. He goes in and... V'hu shel'etz v'tamid ha'mafteach l'tocho. Right, now she says, the potah is like a knob of some sort, and there's the wood in there, we can always just turn it and enter. Okay? Okay. קופין אותו למנות בית שער ודלת לחסר. תניה, רבן שמה מגמליאל אומר, לא כל חצרות ראויות לבית שער. Not every חצר is really worthy to putting a בית שער, אלא חצר הסמוכה לרשות הרבים. Only if it's close to the רשות הרבים, to the public domain, ראויה לבית שער, because then you need the gatesman over there to protect the people from the רשות הרבים. ושאין הסמוכה לרשות הרבים, but if it's not close to the רשות הרבים, אינה ראויה לבית שער. So only really the ones that are really samuch to the Reshut HaRabim, as she says, Shemeshucha lehalan Reshut HaRabim. Now, if you know how the Hatzerot were built in the old days, you have Hatzerot, let's say, you have a picture actually in the book over here, you see it. You have Hatzerot, and they open up to Mavui. Mavui is like an alley, and the alleys open up to the Reshut HaRabim. So only the Hatzerot that are directly open to the Mavui, which have access to the Reshut HaRabim, those Hatzerot need a Shomer, need a Bet Sha'ar. Because they're going to get affected from the people of the Reshut HaRabim, from going in, looking into their yards, because they're the ones that have the access. But the Hatzerot that are deep into the house, that are deep into the Hatzer, you don't got to worry about it, because they're not flush to the Mavui. We're not worried about access. That's a bunch of Rabban Gamliel's Shita. The rabbi said, of Rabbanan zimnin de dachke b'nei Reshut HaRabim v'aydei ba'atu. No, sometimes when there's a lot of people in the Reshut HaRabim, they enter the Mavui area, and they spread out to the whole Hatzer. So even the people that are not flush to the Reshut HaRabim, they still need a Beit Shaar for the influx of extra populace that might enter the Hatzer. As she says, nothing. Okay. So that's the machloket between a bunch of Gamliel and that. So Rashbag holds only the few Hatzerot need a Beit Shaar, but not all the other ones. Kofin oto libnot la'ir. V'rabban shemam Gamliel omer lo kol ha'ayarot riyot lechoma. Ela, only the cities that are simuchal lesefar. Only cities that are close to the border, they need a wall because of the armies that are going to come from the other side of the border and attack. If it's not close to the border, you never know. Sometimes armies come in from wherever they come, and you need a wall, even on in the inland cities, not next to the border. So for the Rabbanan, I'm more cautious to say every city needs a wall. comes the Gemara Ketus Ba'amineh Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yohanan Kashen Govin. Okay, when they collect the taxes to pay for the wall, Lefi Nefashot Govin, did they collect it according to the number of people in the house, or Dilma Lefi Shevach Mamon Govin, according to his wealth, how much money does he have? Which means, you judge it according to, there's 10 guys in the house, so they have a certain tax for each resident. Or do you say no? It's according to how much money he makes. So Gemara, it's Amale Lefi Mamon Govin. Why? Because the logic is, the reason why they do it with Mamon is because that's the reason why the army comes in, to take money. So we're protecting your money. So therefore you have to pay according to how much money you have. The army doesn't come in to kill anybody. The army comes in to take their money. So therefore it's a calculation based on monetary assessment. Ve'elazar b'ni, and he told his son, who was talking over here? Rabbi Yochanan was talking, right? And he says, ve'elazar b'ni kava ba masmerot. And my son, Elazar, he established this minhag with nails. Meaning, he made it a firm minhag, that's the way they collect the tax. And they collect it with quantity money assessment. Now the Gemara has another question. Once we already established that you collect it from a money assessment, we have another question now. Ika de amne ba'amine Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yochanan. That Rabbi Elazar asked the question to Rabbi Yochanan. Kishen govin lefi kiruv batim hen govin o dilmal lefi mamon govin. So the way we're understanding this question is, do they only go according to the assessment of money, or they also take into calculation how close the house is to the wall? It seems that the closer the house is to the wall, the more danger that house is going to have. So the Gemara says, which this is over and above the money assessment. Maybe besides your money assessment, the closer you're going to have to pay, more. So comes the Gemara and says, Amale lefi kiruv batim hen govin. Indeed, that it's also calculated how close the house is to the wall, they're going to have to pay more. Look at the Tosafot at the bottom. Lefi kiruv batim hen govin. Pirush Rabbeinu Tam. Venotnim aniim kirovim yoter merechokim. That's right. The closer aniim are going to give more tax than the further ones. Vechen ashirim kirovim yoter ma'ashirim rechokim. That's right. The closer ashirim are going to give more than the closer than the further ones. About ashirim rechokim, now the ashirim that are far from the wall, notin yotir ma'aniim kirubim. Why? Because they're giving quite their money assessment. And therefore, since they're rich, they're going to give them more assessment. So a further ashir will give more than a closer ani. Even though you size them up a little more, the closer ani, but the ashir is bottom line paying according to his assessment. So therefore, he's going to pay more. The Elazar Beni, and then the Rabbi Hanan says, and my son Elazar Kava Ba Masmirot. He established this minhag firmly with nails. Rabbi Yudanisiyah Rama Deshura Ade Rabbanan. So he put a tax on the rabbis for the Shura. What's the Shura? For the wall. Meaning, like everybody else, he charged the rabbis taxes for the walls of the city. Amale Rish Lakish Shikish told them, Rabbanan lo tzarich nitiruta. The rabbis don't need to pay for protection, because they are themselves under protection of the city. So therefore they don't have to pay. How do we know this? Dikhtiv, because the Pasuk says, now we start with Pasukim in Tehilim, Esperem mechol yirbun. I will count them, and they are more numerous than the sand. So it says, Leman, who is God counting that is so numerous? If God is counting the righteous people and he's saying, there's so many tzaddikim more than the sand, what are you talking about? All the Jewish people collectively are considered as numerous as the sand. How could you only count the tzaddikim? It's all the Jewish people collectively are considered like the same. Not only the tzaddikim, el hachi kamar esperem lemaasehem shel tzaddikim. The pasuk says, "I'm counting the deeds of the tzaddikim mechol yirbun, and their deeds are more countless than the sand." The kal vachomer, and now we make a kal vachomer. Uma chol shemuat megin alayam. A little sand is able to protect the ocean from going over its banks and flooding everything. Ma'asehem shel tzaddikim, which is more, shehen merubim, lo kol sheken shemeginim aleihem, all the more so the deeds of the tzaddikim are going to protect the people from puranu, just like the little beach protects the ocean from coming over. And you tell me that the deeds of the tzaddikim are even more numerous than the sand, kal vachomer, and it's going to protect them from the puranu. Therefore, they do not have to pay. Right, and the pasuk in Yirmiyah Rashi quotes, "Asher samti chol gevul layam." God places the sand as a border to the yam. Baruch Adonai leolam. Let's go a little further. I'm sorry. Jump the gun. Amen, amen. Ki atalik amed Rabbi Yochanan. When they came in front of Yochanan, amale, maitama lo temale, mehai. Why didn't you say this, your derasha from the following pasuk? That the tzaddikim don't have to pay for taxes. We have another pasuk from Shir HaShirim. Ani choma, v'shaddai kamigdalot. Literally, I am a wall, v'shaddai, and the shaddai is the breasts, kamigdalot are like towering buildings. What does that mean? Ani choma zu Torah. Choma is referring to the Torah that protects the people that study it like a wall, like a fortress. Ani choma, the people that study Torah protect the learners like a wall that protects the people in the city. V'shaddai kamigdalot. What does that mean? Elu tamidei hachamim. This is referring to the tamidei hachamim. That what? That just like the breasts of a lady nurse and give out to others in order to benefit. So to tamidei hachamim, they also give their Torah out to others and teach it. And they are like migdalot. They are like big towers that protect the city. So therefore, you see what tamidei hachamim are patur from paying the taxes of the city because they themselves offer the protection because of their studying of Torah. So the Gemara is saying, why did he have to quote a pasuk from Tehillim when you had this pasuk of in Shir HaShirim? What was wrong with this pasuk? So he says, V'Resh Lakish Amar La Kedarash Rava. He learned this pasuk differently. Ani Choma Zu Keneset Yisrael. That's referring to the Jewish people. They're the wall. What does it mean over here? The Jewish people stand like a fortress against the Goyim because they don't assimilate against them. They're like a wall. They're a fortress that is impenetrable. The Goyim cannot penetrate them by marrying them. V'shaddai kamigdalot. And what are the breasts are like the towering buildings. Elu batei kenesiot batei medrashot. That from them disseminate Torah to the nation. Just like the breast disseminates the milk to the child. So too v'shaddai kamigdalot. That's the buildings. What buildings are we talking about? The synagogues and the yeshivas that over there, the Tamidei Chachamim study Torah over there, and therefore they give Torah to Klal Yisrael. So therefore the rabbis, in any event, whatever pasuk you want to take, whatever dinash you want to take, are exempt from the tax because they are the protection of the city. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen.